Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
What is going on, Weekend Warriors? Welcome back. It is 2023. This is our first episode of the new year. Man, it feels good to be back behind the old computer here with you, Logan. Mm-hmm. What's going on? What have you been up to? Fill me in.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I think we had the Panoramic Boys, right? And then we had one episode after that, I believe, to cap off 2022 there before Christmas with some Christmas ideas, which, I mean, those kind of things, they apply all year, right? We'll take those gifts anytime, whether it's a birthday gift, Christmas gift, whatever, right? But no, things have been good. I've been fishing out at Buffalo Pound a lot more at the home lake. We'll get into that later anyways. But yeah, no, I've been doing that, a couple other trips, and then also just laid low a bit too, Christmas. I think it was like a week and a half where I didn't do much, right? You got so many plans of this is happening later in the day, so you can't go do a full day trip somewhere, stuff like that, right? So that's kind of what I was up to. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, laid back a little bit during the holiday season. We pumped out a couple episodes, like you mentioned. Snuck away down south to Arizona for a quick...
Oh, right.
I think it was 4 or 5 days. Just a quick one. While we were there, me and Brooklyn picked up a couple fishing license and hit up a community pond. No luck, we got skunked.
Oh, really?
We rented a couple of rods and spinning reels and some tackle boxes from a company. I think it was like $35 US for the full package each.
That's not bad.
And picked up a couple licenses. I think they were $27 US each for the day. And hit up this community pond, which is neat, right? Because we don't have anything like that in the urban centers where you can just kind of walk around and cast into ponds filled with bass, cat, channel catfish, rainbow trout, and bluegills was apparently what was in this pond. But yeah, we got skunked. Apparently, I mean, there were signs everywhere stipulating the species, but I did see a big cat, a big channel cat. It was swimming right by the ledge where I was casting.
Okay.
Saw that, so there was fish in there. And then I guess I shouldn't say we got skunked because I snagged a dead catfish.
That's something. That almost takes more skill.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with the water there, but it seemed to be not the greatest, maybe oxygen quality or some sort of algae. There was quite a few smaller dead catfish floating around, so... But maybe not the best fishery to hit up, but it was the closest one to our accommodation. So where we rented the gear, the guy was like, if you rent a U-Haul truck, you know, an hour and a half from here, you can find some really good largy fishing. And we're like, well, like, we just were trying to kill some time because we're waiting for the rest of our family to arrive. It was like a family vacation. We flew in a day early. So we were just looking to kill some time and hoping to catch into a decent largy or bluegill or just something. But yeah, if you're heading down to Arizona in the Tempe, Mesa, Scottsdale area, I don't know, maybe you'll have better luck, but maybe...
Drive an hour away.
venture out to some of the recommended fishing spots, so...
Yeah, well, that's funny. That's interesting. Like, I know people complain about license prices sometimes here, and I know it's different when you're a non-resident and stuff, but, like, for us for a whole year, it's, what is it now, 42 Canadian?
Year. It got bumped up a little bit this year, and everybody if you think about it, it's a very minimal. We paid $27 US for a day.
For a day. So I know
that's like mid-30s, you know, damn near $40 after taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's our season pass here. So for that, I mean, we can't complain. You know, we got it pretty good. We got the best fisheries. Or some of the best fisheries across Canada.
Yeah.
And for the low, low fee, you can, you know, have tons of entertainment year round, ice fishing, spring, summer, fall, and you know, even put some food on the table for some friends and family every now and then too.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what the non-resident prices are here, but yeah, that's pretty crazy. $27 USD for one day. I mean, it's still worth the shot, right? But that is crazy to think about when you see the prices here. Like, I wonder what a year would be like for that. I know they kind of will up the prices, right? Like, it's not all equivalent as far as a day versus a week or 3 days, but still, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, no, I think that sounds a pretty good time, even though the fishing maybe wasn't the greatest. But I mean, who can complain about going down there, especially with some of the weather that we were having with that cold snap, eh?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were down there for a short period, and 2 days while we were there, it rained. And like, honestly, we hit up Topgolf, and while we were at Topgolf, it was hailing. And talking to like Uber drivers and stuff, they're like, yeah, like, we only get like 30 days of rain every year. And we're like, great. Out of those 30 days, two of them happened while we're here. So, yeah. I mean, didn't get to rent clubs and hit up a golf course or anything like that. Did take in Topgolf, but yeah, rained two out of the 4 or 5 days we were there. So it was good. It was nice to get away. But there's definitely more I would like to accomplish down there. So we'll probably be heading back for a little golf, maybe do a little bit more serious fishing too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I guess, speaking of getting away, the day that this episode comes out, I will be on a plane to Hawaii for, my God. I don't even know how many days it is. I think it's like 9, maybe something like that. But I'll have to see about, maybe I can end up fishing there. I know when I've been to Costa Rica or to Mexico, I've sometimes brought my own stuff. But the fishing laws are obviously going to be a little bit different in those countries than Hawaii being a part of the United States. So we'll have to see about that. I know in Costa Rica, I searched for like a whole day about licensing like a month before I went. And it was like, if you're not going in a boat and you're just fishing offshore, you don't need anything. I was like, whatever. So I brought down a bait casting setup, a spin setup, and one of my fly rods, and had fun doing that. But we'll have to see if I get into anything in Hawaii. If not, not the biggest deal, but I guess you never know, right?
Yeah, you'll have to take the wifey out fishing on a fishing adventure. I did that. We were in Australia a few years back, and Brooklyn and I did a fishing trip with a charter, and was really looking forward to it. It was fantastic. Really nice boat, bunch of nice people, and I caught one rock bass, and Brooklyn caught 6 different species, I think.
Okay.
And I think there was like 10 of us on the boat. I caught one fish and Brooklyn caught all the rest. Nobody else on the boat caught any. She felt so guilty.
That's but, the day, I mean, you, what you had do? To marry her?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, when you got it, you got it. When it's the lucky day, you just take it as it is and don't complain.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's very true. I mean, that happens with me with my girlfriend too. And a lot of times she comes out with me, it seems that I get out fished pretty well every time. I don't know what it is, whether it's ice fishing or it's trolling some cranks at Buffalo and she gets her favorite rainbow colored Rapala. It doesn't seem to matter what we're doing. She seems to outfish me, but I can't complain. At least there's fish in the boat, right? And that's the most important part. But I guess we've kind of been rambling on here about what's been going on with us. But we don't have anyone lined up for this episode here, which is the first one of the year we wanted to hop on. Kind of update on some things and kind of what we've been doing. I will get into a little bit of some perch talk because I was on a bit of a perch mission, it seemed, the last couple of weeks. So we'll kind of maybe get a little bit of tactics for that. But I think first off, we better, before we get into that, mention our sponsors, right?
Obviously,
who do we got presenting?
Yeah, man, we got some with us that have been with us from the very start. We're still working on finalizing some details with some others. And it's been great. I mean, 13 Fishing Rapala Canada has been amazing to work with. So definitely head on over to rapala.ca, browse 13 Fishing gear, all of that good stuff. Our discount code is going to continue on into 2023. So go save yourself 15% off, grab some new ice fishing gear, anything that you need, go check them out. If you need an auger, strike master, and everything like that's on there. So they are amazing, and they are doing some big, big things here in 2023. They're going to be doing a complete new website launch and a bunch of new products too coming down the pipe. So definitely stay tuned to our social media channels as well as Rapala. and 13 Fishing Canada. Those two channels are going to be pretty on fire with content all year long. So those guys over there have been really good to us. And can't thank them enough for sticking out with us in 2023.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I'll want to circle back to that about Strike Master, but got to make sure we mention the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. They've been a lot of fun to work with. I know I partook in one of their, what would you call it, branches? We have Moose Jaw Wildlife Federation. Yep. I participated in their measuring night for deer. I don't know if, I guess we won't have the video up yet. We'll be having it soon. But in that panoramic episode, I brought Brutus, my white tail, out there and went over to the Moose Jaw Wildlife building there and got it scored. I was just curious as to what its actual size was. I didn't know it was kind of not really a competition, but they do have like awards for the biggest buck and stuff for that branch. And I was just curious as to what it would score. But yeah, it's pretty cheap membership, like $25, I think, for the most part. Like we said before, you get the magazine, you get access to land, you get some insurance. And it's just a fun community to be a part of too. That's the biggest thing I noticed going to some of these events, is just everyone, it's a bunch of like-minded people, right? So I think that's the biggest thing there, but be sure to check them out. Head over to their website, sign up for a membership for your area, and be sure to take advantage of all those benefits that come along with it.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but like the Outdoor Canada West magazine, it's pretty crazy. I mean,
lots of info.
I'm just looking at it. Yeah, it's like there's 20,000 households that magazine goes out to. So that means there's 20,000 plus Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation members. Yeah. And I mean, really, for the cost of it, you're getting so much with it, as well as, some coverage, access to land. And, we can't forget the Saskatchewan Master Angler Program.
Oh, right.
Look what I got here. Yeah, I picked up the mail before we hopped on here. And I got this nice little package that I figured I'd open. Cause I don't know what it is, but I think I know what it is. And it's pretty exciting.
This is our first live unboxing.
Da, 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 da. There it is.
You sound so thrilled.
Oh my god,
they look nice.
These are really nice. So this is my first Saskatchewan Master Angler certification. All of my Master Angler size fish were caught prior to the program being released, and anything that I've caught of size per species, I always forget to take a bump board photo. But yeah, this is my first walleye from this ice fishing season back at the end of November. So that was just shy of 29 inches. That was a doozy first walleye of the year. That set the bar real high. So
yeah, that's a tough one to compete with.
Now I got to get a frame for this. So I know there's a lot of you guys that listen that have tons of species already. So that's fantastic. Any feedback that you have about the app, the program, anything like that, you can reach out to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, or you can send us an email, send us a DM, any input that you have, we can pass along to our direct contact over there, because they are continuously looking to improve and create a better experience for anglers. And this program, it's only going to continue to grow moving forward. There's more and more people submitting catches every single week. It's honestly fantastic to see.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess a quick little shout out, previous guest Rylan Parrott. I'm pretty sure he is the, in quotations, master angler right now, right? I think he has the most species so far.
Oh, most likely. I mean, he's a multi-species freaking.
Yeah. So
shout out
shout out to him, as well as he just launched his YouTube channel and has a couple pike videos on there. And I've been talking to him last week in there, so wanted to mention that quick. He has pretty good information in there as far as what he's doing. If you follow him, you know he's always on the big pike, so definitely something to check out there. But I don't know. I kind of want to circle back to the Strike Master thing, unless you had more.
Before we get away from the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, we just launched some new ice fishing merch. It's on our website. Go check it out. Ice season merch, as well as this Burbit design. This is pretty cool. I'm wearing it right now. I love it. This kind of black camo Burbit pound bottom weekend warrior co-design. And I just wanted to mention all of these merch drops with the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation, because 2% of profits are donated back to conservation and wildlife efforts. And our first charitable donation will be to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. So we're going to roll everything from 2022 and into 2023. And at the end of 2023, we're going to put a donation to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation for all of their enhancement projects, anything like that, whatever they want to use it for. Maybe it'll go towards even bettering the Master Angler program. Mm-hmm. Whatever they need to put funds towards, we're going to donate 2% of those proceeds back. And who knows? We'll see how the year goes. Maybe we'll match it too.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's something that we've had from the start there, and obviously something that we want to stay transparent with as well, right? Like, we have that on the website. You know that part of it's going to there. And we want to make it a worthwhile one. So definitely something we're looking forward to kind of see what that's at the end of this year and be able
go
to
check out our merch, weekendwarriorsco.com.
There you go. But I guess going back to the Strike Master thing, talking about augers, obviously yeah. That's a big purchase, right? And I guess one thing that Mark we had on last June was talking yeah. about with us is they do, like, I know the auger itself is a big purchase, but they do have, you can just get the flighting and they have the drill adapter, right?
Oh yeah, you got that, eh?
Yeah, I have that. So I was just talking to one of my buddies, Jordy. I saw you had a post on Facebook asking if anyone had any old 10-inch hand augers, and I texted him, I'm like, oh, why do you want that kind of thing? And he basically said he just wants to do it for his drill setup. And I was like, well, actually, Strike Master has basically, I think it adapts for any of their flightings. They now have yeah. the drill attachment for that. So, I mean, that if you already have a drill and stuff, right, that saves money not having to purchase the head. So that's something to check out for sure. And I guess speaking from actually using quite a few of their products now, like I have the 40-volt with the 8-inch light flight, which is, I think, what you have as well, right, Brandon?
Yep, I got the 40-volt Pro Light. 8-inch. Yeah.
And then the other one is the smaller head is the 24-volt, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so one of my buddies has that with the 8-inch light flight, and I've got to mess around with that one a little bit too, and it's crazy how fast these augers are. I hadn't upgraded to a new auger in a handful of years, so it was nice going to one like this where I literally almost have to pull up. That's how quickly it's going and cutting into that ice, so definitely something to check out. I mean, I honestly, that 24-volt, it's crazy how small it is, actually, and how light it is. Even
yeah.
the 40 volts light, but that 24 is pretty funny. Seeing my buddy, he'd be, I don't know, how tall do you think Justin is? Like 6'2", something like that. And he's got this little 24 volt in his hands. He's going around ripping holes in it. It works great for that. But they also just brought out the 10-inch light flight as well, which anyone who's used a 10-inch auger knows those aren't light. So it's nice to have that light flight. I guess it will kind of transition into this weekend. I was doing a camping mission, and I put the auger to the test this year so far, and I've been drilling double holes with it, triple holes, and the lots of people, first thing they say, oh, it's plastic flighting, and it stood up to doing that. As anyone who's drilled those holes knows, sometimes not the easiest on the flighting, so it's been standing yeah. up to that, and I've been happy with that. So definitely something to check out.
Why were you drilling three holes, triple holes this weekend?
Well, it depends. Yes, if people on Facebook are saying because I want a small kid to fall through, I don't know. No, I was doing a camping trip, so I went out a solo trip. Somehow, 6, 7, 8 buddies of mine, they're all busy for this time, so I was like, whatever. Sorry. I'm still gonna go. Yeah, you being one. No, there's a lot of people I asked. I even asked my girlfriend, who I knew wouldn't come, but she was like, oh, if I didn't work. I was like, yeah, and if you didn't work, what would it be next kind of thing? But no, I'm just kidding. I knew that wouldn't be as enjoyable for her as for lots of people. I know you can enjoy fishing, but it's another thing to go out there and sleep overnight on a cot and this and that, right? So
bit that's of
a
not grind. For everyone.
No, not for everyone. But anyways, I went out solo mission, went out to Deef, and yeah, I kind of spent the day. It was my first day actually with using the live scope. Picked that
so
up.
Sick.
Yeah, it was picked that up from Brandon there. It was I've been around LiveScope. I hadn't been around this one. This is the LVS-34, right?
Yep. This is the LiveScope Plus.
Yeah. So I'd only been around the 32. And just the difference in the bottom, like, I know that's one thing they talk about a lot is the separation, right, from bottom, but it just looked different. And then the very first fish that comes in after like 5 minutes of using it, I've drilled some holes, I set up for trout, yeah, is a burr. And it's just like, it's like a foot off bottom. I can see it perfectly. I know it's a burr, but just by looking at it, that's how, like, I didn't change any settings either. I don't know how much you changed when you had it, but
no.
Yeah,
plug and play,
exactly. And that's all it was there. I'm sure we could really dial it in even more, but this was literally, I came in, I could see the burbot tail and everything.
I was just gonna say,
what
that video is saying, we posted it on our Instagram page,
yeah,
of that burbot coming in. You can literally see like the shape of that tail, like, yeah. It literally doesn't look like a fin, like on a pike or a walleye. It's got that long wavy tail, and you can, yeah, see exactly. It on the live scope.
Yeah, and it came in charged up back and forth a couple times, and I was able to hook into that one. And it wasn't even like, I see videos of people fish, like I was fishing with the live scope pole in that hole. I didn't drill a separate one. And
yeah.
I thought, that's got to be kind of hard to pull it out. And I mean, we only have two sections on there right now, right? To get just below the ice there as far as length on the pole. But I was able to rip that up easy, set it aside, and still fight that fish. I mean, it was I think a master angler burbot is 30
inches,
and it was about a 25 incher, but that thing still dogged me good. And that's why I love burbot. Like, it was a respectable burbot, but like, it just, they have so
God, much, I love burbot.
So much weight to it. But yeah, I was using that live scope for the first time, and it was pretty sweet to see it. It almost is like disheartening to see how many fish go by. Like, I know when you have a flasher, depending on your depth and your cone angle, you're going to see more, right? But this is like, literally, I'm like, there's fish that keep swimming 15 feet to my right, and so then I go drill a hole 15 feet to my right, kind of thing. And I mean, obviously some fish just aren't going to bite. I think lots of them were,
and then they're 15 feet to your left.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's still a lot of figuring out. Like, I called my buddy Justin a couple times, who has had live scope for just over a year now, and I'm like, how do I do this? How do I do that? I want to try and do this. And he's just telling me how to do all this stuff. So it was disheartening in the sense of, it's like, you just see so much more and you can see where they're actually going. So
yeah.
I fished that one spot for a bit. And then I went to where I was going to set up for the evening, set up camp, kind of drilled around, found where I wanted to go. Plan was to go for burbot. And the end of story, I was probably a couple weeks early. They weren't in there too hot and heavy like they have been other years. But anyways, I set up. I'm seeing lots of fish moving. Caught a perch on the jawjacker pretty quickly. And I don't know. I just figured we've caught fish here before. It's getting to be around that time for burb. And what the heck, I'll set up here. Didn't really know where else to go. So was getting set up there. And I had just finished tinkering with everything. Just sat down in my chair. And I see this big mark coming in from shallower. I was in about, I think I was in 28 feet. And I'm like, I could see the points of the fins. I was like, this looks like a pike, but I didn't, being newer to live scope, I didn't look up to see the correlation of the length, right? Because you can kind of tell length when you look up at the top and you see your 5, 10, 15 increments, right? So I'm kind of like, oh, that's probably a pike. So I'm like, whatever. Oh, it's a big mark. I'll try and catch it. And then it kind of sinks down a bit to bottom, and I can see it moving on bottom. Just from a little bit of a hump, golden hump kind of moving around. And then I look at my camera, because I have we had the Markham Pursuit HDL there. It's kind of crazy. I found out where I can just set it right on top of the live scope. So it's live scope, and then an inch up is the camera. But then I look down, and there's just this thick back. And I was like, huh? Like, kind of what's going on? And turns out to be a sturgeon. And it was for sure over 5 feet based on the live scope, and just thick. And so the Pursuit HD, it has internal recording, just put in a SD card. So I started recording that, and I'm just like shaking. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, at first it looked like it was just kind of cruising around. I'm like, oh, right place, right time. Got lucky. Yeah. But then it circled back and it started sifting through the sand, and my hook was right there. And I had literally just gotten set up. Like, I was thawing out some bait to cut up some chunks, because I was going to be overnight for burbot, right? And it's pretty important on that lake especially. But I was like kind of, what's it sifting around for? And I don't know, I had my hook there with some minnow on it, and it didn't take it, which is probably a good thing, I mean, I had a 42 medium heavy, but not, I mean, that still gets dogged, but I mean, I had 10 pound braid on and I did have a double hull there.
5 foot plus sturgeon. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So I don't know what would happen. I probably would have broke off, but I mean, still it was crazy to see. We've also posted that video on Instagram and Facebook. So
yep.
It's crazy quality, and it was getting later in the day. The reason for it being black and white. It was like 4 something in the afternoon, but I mean,
that footage in like color would be display insane. Would have been unbelievable.
Yeah. Which that's the only unfortunate part, but hey, I can't complain. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was, like I said in the post, probably the coolest thing I'll ever capture underwater. I know people, like, it's not obviously unheard of that there's sturgeon at deep, people catch them in Sass Landing trolling for walleye. I've heard from a couple people years past stories about when they're building the big dam there that divers are going down and coming up just scared shitless, basically, because they were seeing these huge fish down there and turned out to be sturgeon. But just stuff like that. I know they're there, but where I was, main lake, not in the river system, not by any of the dams, I'm like, this is pretty uncommon. I even thought, like, how often do you see that on Facebook, Instagram, right?
Gonna say too, right? Like you said, you hear these stories about people like bycatching them for walleye and stuff like that, but it's a completely different situation when you're being told a story and being told that there's sturgeon in the lake, and then there's capturing a 5 foot plus sturgeon on camera right below you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing. As like, once it all finished, it swam off and into the abyss, never to be seen again. I was just like, I'm thinking, like, I got that recorded. That's pretty sick. Would have been really cool to catch it, but I'm like, you don't. I see like maybe 2, maybe 3 posts a year at Deef of them being caught in Sask Landing area, which is hours. May as well be hours from where I was. And it's just I know, like, talking to buddies and seeing it, like Tobin's, it's common enough there, right? For them to be caught around the dam and stuff like that. But I mean, to see the underwater footage was the main part. I'm like, I have never seen this before. Like,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I mean, obviously, Eve that we've had on from Eve Business Surgeon Co. He has lots of videos of those releases, right? Underwater releases.
Did you send him that footage?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if he saw it or not yet.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. He wants to pop it up. He messaged me when I messaged him, like 5 minutes after that. I was like, I think you're going to like this. And he's like, oh, can I throw that up with my story? And I was like, I'll have an HD video for you to throw up. Just I'm camping on the night. He's like, or I said, I'm camping on the ice. And he said, what?
Yeah. Just foreign to him.
Yeah. But, no, it was, he's pretty pumped about that, but this is cool. Just uninterrupted. I don't even think it knew my hook was there. Just getting to watch it, was pretty sweet, but long, long story back to the auger. Immediately after that, once he was gone, reeled up and drilled triples. I had a double already drilled, actually, in that hole that he ended up under. I had a double drilled there, but that triple just adds that more of that roundness to it, right? So
I mean, if you were to actually like hook up with that fish, that would have, the girth of that thing would have been like,
exactly. So that was the reason for the triples. So drilled triple holes there, just in case, because obviously staying overnight, I was going to be putting rods in, rod holders or jaw jackers, and who knows what's going to come, right? I can't control it. I could be wrong. I don't know if you're actually allowed to target sturgeon in Saskatchewan. I don't know how they'd ever prove that you're specifically targeting sturgeon. I know they get caught a lot, but just from some of the stuff I've read and heard. But I mean, I was setting up for burbot, kind of getting those waters nice and stinky and whatnot is a thing for burb, and I was getting ready for that anyways, but I was like, I don't want to not be prepared in case it comes back, knowing that it's in the area, right? So, because I don't want to leave a hook in a fish if I don't have to, or break off and have a bunch of line out there too, right? So,
wow, what a crazy weekend you had.
I mean, I only caught like 5 fish, but that made up for it, so.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, right, you hooked up with some nice burbs and got footage of a pretty remarkable situation with a sturgeon. So
that's exactly.
a heck of a lot better than my fishing weekend. I didn't even get out.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I mean, it wasn't bad.
Too busy. Actually, While we're on the topic, I've been busy with real estate. So I actually have a client looking for 30 acres plus of land within a 30-minute drive of either Last Mountain Lake or the Chain Lakes.
So like the fish?
So anybody listening, if you're from Saskatchewan and you know somebody that has 30 plus acres of land, mostly it'll just be used for, I don't know, a few head of cattle, maybe some hay. but yeah, reach out to me. I have a client looking, so it's pretty far for you and in between. So
there you go. Dad, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to say about the deep thing. On top of that, I guess I was seeing, I tried everything for those whitefish.
Are you going back soon?
No, I'm going to Hawaii.
Well, not necessarily this weekend, but no. When you get back, like we should plan an overnight on Deef or Last Mountain.
Yeah, I would overnight at Deef over Last Mountain. I think I've done overnight at Last Mountain
for Burbitt,
and it's been tough
for Burbitt specifically. Yeah, let's go Deef.
Yeah,
and no, let's for sure. Let's wear our pound bottom Burbitt hoodies because like why not? It's probably good luck.
It probably
if you
is.
Buy this hoodie. If you buy this hoodie and you go Burbitt fishing, you're basically guaranteed a master angler Burbitt.
If you pound bottom, right? That's the key part.
If you pound bottom, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's obviously a big part. Like we've talked about, we have a Burbitt episode as well. The one thing that I found crazy, and I was texting a couple guys, and I was like, I've been sitting on this spot. I can see, I have the live scope. I'm set up for 30 feet either side of me. I had it on perspective mode. 30 feet either side of me, and fish just cruising nonstop. I sat in the shack I should have been outside because it was nice, but I was kind of being lazy, but it was from like 6 p.m. till 11 p.m. I sat in the shack and just watched fish cruise constantly. And every fish that came in and bit, and actually stopped and looked at me and bit, I landed. Otherwise, the rest, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't stop them, nothing. I think they're whitefish from the little bit I saw on the camera. And then just some of the body shapes, but it was like I could not get them to stop at all. I tried everything. I tried rattles. I tried just a plain hook and a minnow. I tried little jigs. I tried wire worms, all that stuff for them. And they just didn't seem interested, but they were cruising nonstop. Like I was seeing fish, especially for Deef. It's weird for me. I don't do well on Deef, but I was probably seeing fish a couple times every 5 minutes. I'd say there was something showing up. Coming from one side or the other. And the crazy part is talking about the cone angle, I also had my Helix 7 set up there in the one hole, and I'd start marking a fish, and at 28 feet with the cone angle I had, that fish could be 15 feet to my right and I was marking it. So if I didn't have the live scope, I'd be like, oh man, there's so many marks coming in and they're not chasing me. Well, I mean, that was still the case, but I was like, they're not chasing me, but I don't realize that fish is 15 feet away from me and it never even thought once about coming in. Right. Whereas the live scope, I can see, okay, yeah, it was just cruising and had no intentions of coming in here. So definitely.
Yeah, on the flash here, you're just jigging frantically, thinking this mark is actually like three inches away from your bait.
Yeah. And it's not.
But in reality, it's 10 feet away looking in the other direction.
Yeah. It doesn't even know about you. So no, I was definitely very impressed with the live scope for the first use there. But yeah. Well, I definitely have to get out there. Even the Burbitt, you can definitely tell, like, because there are lots of times they come in on bottom. And the biggest thing with Deef, or just fishing any drop, and the reason I say Deef is because we do it a lot there. There's, if anyone's fished Buffalo Pound, they know there's nothing like that there. But the biggest thing is that there's no dead zone. You get lots of dead zone on your flashers normally, right? And that, not that there's no dead zone, but it reads that bottom a lot different. So lots of times when I'm Burbitt fishing, the only reason I have a flasher is in case I start to jig one up. Otherwise, I'm usually jigging in the dead zone and I don't have a clue if there's a fish there or not, right? Sometimes it can be a foot or two of dead zone. Well, that's a lot of space for a fish to be sitting in that you don't know about, right? So that was the other nice thing about the live scope is I could really tell when a fish was coming in along bottom and could get ready for it kind of thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's super cool. I mean, Burbitt on Deef would be good. I mean, God, I really want to get up to Lac La Ronge for lake trout through the ice. I don't know if it's realistic or not to plan that this year, but
I think it's something you want to do.
That'd be sick.
It's something you want to do either like with an outfitter. I think you said you had something lined up with someone there before, or go with somebody who knows.
During COVID, so it ended up getting canceled and just
time's
been limited ever since that trip got canceled during COVID. So
yeah, no, that's fair. I think it's definitely something you want to go with someone who knows the area, not just because obviously it helps with the fishing, but it's a far trek.
Far snowmobile. Yeah, it's a pretty far snowmobile ride into Hunter's Bay, which is what I hear is the place to go. So
yeah, and I think that could be pretty common knowledge, especially with the outfitters being there. But it's just dangerous too, right? Up there, you're up north, very secluded. I know up north they have to deal with the floodwaters and slush a lot more than, like, that's hardly ever an issue down here, right? So I know that's a big thing, but I guess it's a little bit of a big transition from lake trout to perch, but I've been perching like crazy the last little bit.
Lots of seven stripers or no?
I didn't count the stripes anymore. I'm aiming at that 13 inches. Yeah. No, I'm aiming for that 13 inches, the master angler.
Have you didn't get a 13 incher? You just got some nice 9, 10, 11s or what?
So I guess to start off, we had Jamie Bruce on not long ago. He's had a couple of videos on his YouTube perching, I think, on Lake of the Woods, I believe. But the big difference here is, and I think it's more common, right? Buffalo is 15 feet max. If you find that, right, you're not really worried about barrel trauma as much.
Especially with the ice, right? And it might be like 13, 14 feet.
So you're not worried about that as much. I know barrel's an issue with perch fishing a lot at like Last Mountain, or in Jamie's video too. He's basically like they're catching a keep, right? That's the thing. So they're not really worried about the barrel there. But that's the one thing I like about Buffalo is it's nice and shallow. But yeah, we've been, for anyone that's fished it recently, I don't know how long ago it was, 4 or 5 years, maybe more. They changed the limit. So the provincial limit's 25 for perch, and they changed it down to 10. And I think from my own like eye test, there just seemed to be a lot of people out there, and I'm kind of not oblivious to it, but don't realize how much is actually kept, because I don't keep hardly ever. But like one of my buddies worked at the park at Buffalo, and he said in the summers, and he's like, man, the number of walleye that we're taking out of the filleting shack is crazy. Like, you would not, I don't know that it's an issue. I'm just saying he said, you don't realize how much is actually kept. Right. How much people actually fish out there and keep. So, I obviously don't realize what was going on totally, especially cause I don't keep, but anyways, they changed the limit, and for a couple years there, you put the camera down and it was just like hundreds of like 3 inches, like their minnows, like shiners were coming in bigger than the perch. And so that was going on for a couple of years. Well, I saw lots of people talking about that on Facebook and stuff, and it's still like that. Like, there's still tons of small ones, but I think some of those ones from a couple of years ago are getting a bit bigger. So you're starting to see more of that like 6-7 inch range, which has been nice. Like, those ones, at least they can eat, right? Or they can bite the hook. So that's been the nice part. But yeah, over Christmas there, kind of was all over the lake. I don't know if some people see my shack out there, it's pretty obvious which one it is with the big sign on it. But we kind of go all over the place, and it's definitely weeding through lots of small ones. But the perch bite has been phenomenal for the last like 2 weeks. It seems to have died off this Sunday, by the sounds of it. Dad was out there, but we've been the lots of small ones, but then all of a sudden 12 incher, 11 incher, and then the one weekend we had, me and Dad were out with some of my little cousins, and it was like we probably caught 12 to 15 in that 12 plus range, and none of them went over 13, like all like within an inch of each other.
Some big perch though.
Yeah. Oh no, still great perch. I think our biggest, Dad caught the biggest we'd seen in a couple of years out of there, and it was 12.75 just this past weekend. So getting close to that number, but it's definitely hard to get to. Like that 12 seems to be, that 12 to 12 and a half seems to be kind of the upper limit right now. But no, it's been great, and I think that's one thing we kind of wanted to talk about, maybe some info to bring into this episode is beyond what we've been up to. But I don't know if you've ever done this, Brandon, but I kind of started to mess around with it a little bit a couple of years ago. And then I also seen it was a thing for whitefish, but you don't see it a lot anymore. It's kind of that dropper technique. of whether it's a spoon, it's like something flashy below, and then like a foot above that, you've got like a little fly or a nymph. Tungsten jig, something like that above, right? And that's something I kind of started doing more. I actually tied up some little flies, just hair, rabbit hair flies. And it was just literally a bear hook and a chunk of the rabbit fur. And
those are what they're eating?
Well, I mean, not only, like, we're catching them on lots of stuff, but that's been something that okay. I've been testing out with, especially now when we're starting to get into that January, February, where things are pretty slow.
Slowing down, yeah.
Yeah, so I started doing that. Even, like, that spoon acts well, especially if you're alone, to kind of call them in, right? And then they'll see that smaller one above. But kind of using that dropper system for fish that are being more finicky, that's definitely helped a lot. There's a guy, actually, that I just started following on TikTok. He's a pretty good follow. He fishes out in, I think it's Lake Ontario, Lake Simcoe, something like that. But he has lots of really informative videos. It's John White 009, and White is W-H-Y-T-E. He has all these great videos, and lots of it's on perching. And I'd kind of already been doing that dropper setup, but then I watched some of his videos, and he talks about anywhere that has midges, so I think midge flies or whatever, there's I think the bloodworm, I believe, is their larva. And so he's saying in some of his videos here that fish around this time of year are going into this bloodworm phase. So you might notice it on the, if you have a camera down, that these fish are coming along and they're more picking up off bottom, kind of filtering the bottom and stuff, and not really even worried about your bait. And I guess that's because apparently that's where the bloodworms are. That hatch must be happening or something like that, right? So that's what the fish are keying in on, and they'll just eat hundreds of these little worms. So by putting on the spoon to kind of maybe call them in and being able to kick up bottom more, like another fish is feeding on the bottom, and then you have that dropper. I guess it wouldn't even be a dropper, it's the opposite of a dropper, but have that one like another foot up the line. And whether you put like a little plastic or even just a mealworm on there, just something little, the fish seem to just engulf that. And it's so nice and small for these perch that they just chomp it. And so that's my little tip for this episode, I guess.
Do you use mealworms for bait?
Yes. And given the prices, I will be making my own, farming my own. Yeah.
Isn't everything's just stupid right now? I think, what was it? Something the other day just made me sit and go, wow. Oh, you know, sometimes like you can just pick up like those salad kits.
Yeah.
Or it's just like
salad pre-cut bag.
Pre-cut romaine, comes with a little pouch of Caesar.
Yeah.
A little bit of croutons. Those are fantastic to just like pick up and, you know, easy to make. They used to be like $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
The one I bought the other day was like $7.50.
Oh, geez.
It blew my mind. It blew my freaking mind. You know, everything's kind of like double. Prices are crazy.
Yeah.
Prices are crazy. But, I mean, what do you do, though? I mean, food's just through the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
Things aren't normalizing, but at least, you know, some industries are not as bad as far as, like, inventory and supply issues and stuff like that. But it's definitely not good.
Yeah.
But anywho, just, diving into that. Yeah, baits.
Yeah.
Minnows, too.
At least there's minnows this year, though, right? Because
there was
a minnow shortage last year.
Slim pickings last year.
Yeah, and when they were there, they were just mushy from the get-go, so not great. So, no, I just recently purchased mealworms, and I think it was a little, what do you want to call it, cup of 100, and it was like $14 or $15 for that, which,
Jesus.
I mean, that's, in my eyes, pretty crazy. I thought it used to be like half that price, but picked up that and two chocolate bars, and I was like, man, this is an expensive trip to the gas station. I didn't even get gas today, so.
Yeah.
No, definitely something to watch out for. They're not too bad to grow yourselves. You just need a little bit of area there, but it's also a bit of a process, so I guess that is all up to whether or not you want to get into that, but I think that's something I'll be doing. I'll have some mealworms for you in a couple months, I think.
Let's start a mealworm farm. The Weekend Warrior mealworm farm.
Yeah, you got an extra bedroom in your basement for it?
I got a whole basement.
Oh, there you go. We can really scale things up then.
Yeah. Basement's basically unutilized right now. It's just waiting to to be turned into a mealworm farm.
I'm sure Brooke would really like that.
And who knows? This might even like expand, you know, I have no problem, you know, upgrading,
yeah, you know,
into a larger facility to help the Weekend Warriors flourish.
Yeah. Get those bait prices down. People can enjoy it a bit more. I know if you go to Buffalo, you want the mealworms because they just pick them apart like crazy, no matter how you hook them, and you go through quite a few. So another little tip there for you. If you're going to Buffalo, take some mealworms. They seem to be the ticket. Minnows do not bad, but you also got to kind of deal with that and them getting mushy or going bad. So can't go wrong with mealworms. But I don't know. Do you have any? You have anything else for this one? I know it was kind of all over the place and whatnot, but we'll hopefully be back with a guest in our next episode. And I don't know. Do you have anything else?
No, I think the biggest thing is we just wanted to touch on, you know, it's the new year. We're getting things rolling again. It was nice to take a little break over the holidays. And yeah, we're just working on a few things, getting stuff in order and lining up some guests for 2023. It's going to be another great year. It's hard to believe this is the third year of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. So every time I think about it, it's pretty crazy because it feels like yesterday when we were just talking about it and decided to record our first three episodes and didn't really know what we were doing, where it was going, or honestly, we weren't really super set on a name for it either. I mean,
yeah,
we just kind of ran with Weekend Warriors, and I feel like it's super fitting to our audience and all of you tuning in. So we hope you guys enjoyed the last 2 years of the podcast, and we appreciate you guys tuning in for what hopes to be the best year yet for the Weekend Warriors. So with that being said, definitely again go take a peek at Rapella.ca, use our code Weekend Warriors for 15% off, and thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.